Our gracious God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you're the God who promises and that you are the God who is faithful. And so we pray that today, by your word and Holy Spirit, you would reveal more and more of your gospel faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether we know it or not, all of us make sacrifices each day. I sacrifice the sake of my gut health and probably teeth for the sake of a bag of Skittles every now and then. We might sacrifice our place in line in traffic to let someone in. We sacrifice a bit of our savings for that takeaway coffee or that takeaway lunch. We sacrifice work opportunities perhaps for our family. We sacrifice sleep in order to take care of our kids. We make these choices every day and sometimes subconsciously, well, because they're worth it. Give up time and energy for family? Yes, of course. Make sure you get that daily coffee so that you can survive and function as a human being every day? Totally. But what are we willing to sacrifice for God? What are we willing to sacrifice for God? Because if it is only a sleep in 2 hours on a Sunday, if it is only 10% of our income, or a night a week at home group, then the bar is far too low. Because as we'll see today, God is the God who provides for us and commands us to give everything over to him. We see this so clearly in chapter 22. So far, since we last picked up in chapter 17, at the ages of 100 and 90, Abraham and Sarah have conceived. Sarah has given birth to a son called Isaac. Throughout the chapters in Genesis, both Abraham and Sarah have swayed from trust to distrust, from faith to doubt to faith. They've had these promises of a promised son, and that from their descendants would come a great nation. They've attempted to take matters into their own hands. Remember that saga with Hagar and the slave girl? They've doubted God. They've laughed at God's face. But now Isaac has been born. The one through whom God is going to bless and multiply. He is the long-awaited promised son. But today we see Abraham called to do the unthinkable. Offer him up. Sacrifice him. This is God's final test to Abraham. Is Abraham willing to trust God with everything? Is he willing to put his whole life in the hands of Yahweh Almighty, even though the situation seems totally and utterly bleak? Well, yes. Because he knows that God is the God who provides. Look at me at chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. This concept of God testing people or allowing trials to happen isn't unique here in this passage. We might think of Job as an example. God allowed trials and testing to happen to him. In the New Testament, God tells us in James chapter 1 to consider it pure joy when we face trials. Romans 5 says that trials can improve our faith. We can rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces endurance, character, and hope. Sometimes God can send trials or testing circumstances as a prod to get us closer back to him. But this test that God has for Abraham is completely unique to him. Look at me at chapter 22, verse 2. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. let's make it abundantly clear here what God is requiring Abraham to do. Take this long-awaited promised son. By this point, Ishmael has been sent out of the picture. Take his one and only son, take him up to a mountain, kill him, dismember him, and offer him on a pyre and burn his body completely. You heard it right. God is calling Abraham to perform child sacrifice. Is anyone squirming in their seats yet? The notion of child sacrifice wasn't foreign in the ancient Near East. It was done to appease the pagan gods to get their attention. Later on in the giving of the law in Exodus, child sacrifice is forbidden. One of the Israelite kings is described as sacrificing his son to the god of Baal. So why is God asking Abraham to do such an abhorrent thing? Abraham, hearing this, must have been utterly confused, heartbroken, disturbed even. This is like death by a thousand cuts for Abraham. This long-awaited child, Sarah, is well over 100 by now. There's no hope of another child coming. But this isn't an ordinary child. Remember, this is God's covenant child. God is going to bring all his promises, bring his covenant through Isaac. And now is God going back on his word? Is this some kind of sick joke? Well, there are three things which we need to be mindful of here as we approach this passage. Firstly, God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. I'm not here to act as a defendant on God's behalf. But secondly, this is a unique situation. At no other time in human history, at no other time in the Bible, does God or will God command such a thing? And lastly, this is a test for Abraham. God never intended Isaac to be killed. This is a test. This is the ultimate test. Will Abraham be willing to give up his most prized person for God? Will he be willing to give up his lifeline, his lifeblood, the most hoped-for person to God? Is Abraham willing to trust God yet again in the midst of perplexing, confusing, and heartbreaking situations? Let's see. Look at me from verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abraham goes. He's entrusting himself to God. I don't think we could even begin to imagine the thoughts that were running through Abraham's head as he was chopping the wood, swinging the axe, every beat of the axe mocking the final heartbeats of his son Isaac. But he still trusted God. Look at me from verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you." Is this Abraham floundering? Is he trying to come up with something last minute? Is he trying to keep the peace? Is he trying to keep the young Isaac calm? Well, no. I think this is Abraham genuinely trusting God that God could do something miraculous here, that God would provide somehow. He says to his servants, "We're just going up there. We're going to come back." And then look at me from verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, the both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. We aren't told exactly how old Isaac is at this encounter, but he's old enough to carry the wood himself. I wonder if you noticed that. So quite possibly Isaac is in his teens here. And still Abraham trusts that God will provide. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, that Abraham considered that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And the story continues. Verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Remember, Abraham is 110 years old here or older. Isaac is probably around 13 to 15 years of old. It's not like Abraham could have physically overpowered Isaac. I find it hard to physically restrain my 2-year-old at the moment. But here it says that Isaac was bound. Not only does Abraham trust in God, but Isaac trusts in God's provision. Isaac is going along with it like a lamb to the slaughter. He doesn't open his mouth. Abraham isn't forcing Isaac. Isaac is laying down his life of his own accord. Both trusting that God will provide. When times of testing come, they are by nature not easy. Life circumstances, health challenges, exhaustion, work conflict, financial stress, these things can be intolerable sometimes. It can drive us to the edge of and end of ourselves. They push us beyond the brink. But in the midst of these, somehow God is working in us. It may not make sense at the moment. We might question God. We might complain to God. We might cry out to God, as we should. But in these moments, God hasn't abandoned us, nor left us. But God has and will greatly provide for us. Let's look at verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, I think if I was Abraham at this point with the knife held, ready to go, I think I would have fainted at the point of the angel coming. But God provides. He provides a substitute. A substitute offering instead of his son. And that's why this place is now called the Lord will provide. This land of Moreh, or the mountain of Moreh, is described in 2 Chronicles as the place where the temple was built. God provides a way. God provided for Abraham. And God tested and proved Abraham's faith as true. And also, in the same way, while God was testing Abraham, Abraham was also in a way testing God to see if he could achieve his purposes. But God was faithful, and God provides. And for us here today, well, he has provided already. He's provided abundantly through the one who is the great descendant of Isaac. God sent his one and only Son into the world to save it. Jesus was born and came in order to be obedient to the Father by laying down his life. It says in John 10 that he lays down his life of his own accord. He isn't forced into it. Jesus isn't wrestled into it. He went willingly. And instead of carrying firewood up a mountain on his back, he was forced to carry his own wooden cross up the hill. When he was mocked, he stayed silent. And Jesus died as the substitute on our behalf. Rose again as the victorious Son and Lord of all, dying the death that we deserve because of our sin and rebelling against God. And he's provided amazing grace, abundant hope, and eternal salvation for us, so that all who turn to Jesus can be brought into an eternal relationship with this promise-keeping, promise-making God himself. But as we wait for God to provide in his timing and in his ways. See, when we go through our times of trials or stressful times, we may not know exactly how God will answer our prayer or when God will answer our prayer or in what way God will answer. But he will provide. If God spent no expense in saving us through the death of his one and only Son 2,000 years ago, why would he stop loving us from providing for us right now? So no matter in what way you are being tested right now, or in what way you are being pushed to the brink, God has redeemed you. You are his child, his beloved son and daughter. He's provided for you and will provide for you. And we can be sure of this because we worship a God who promises and keeps his promises. What's been astounding to me over the past 7 weeks in Genesis is just how completely steadfast and faithful God is. His word is completely sure. In chapter 22, verse 15, verse 16, it says that God swears by himself. If he breaks his covenant, he is not himself anymore. His word is completely sure. We've seen God keeping his promise. We've seen God looking for the outpressed, for the oppressed, and hearing the cries of the victim. It's brilliant news that the Bible isn't a textbook. It isn't a set of rules, but it's a story of how God intervenes throughout history. And so as we look at these chapters, as we read God's word, we are reminded of just how great God is. No matter what you are facing this week, God is greater. And God is faithful. He will give you comfort. Excuse me. He will give you great comfort in the midst of discomfort and sickness. He will give you great assurance in the midst of your doubts. And when we entrust ourselves over to God, we are giving ourselves over to the one who is completely trustworthy. See, Abraham was called to sacrifice his one and only son and give it to God. Dedicate it to him. And today, we are commanded to give our whole lives to God as living sacrifices to him. deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. Don't hold back. You know, there's a temptation in the Christian walk to portion off our lives. You know, here's a bit for God over here. God, you can take my Sundays. God, you can take my 10% of my income. God, you can take my Tuesday nights at home group. But the rest of the week, no, that's mine. No, God calls on us to dedicate it all for him. Whole of life, lifelong discipleship. But the reward is great because he is completely worthy and deserving of our trust. Because here's the God who not only just promises, but keeps his promises. And as we trust in him, this is what he promises us: that we will be blessed as a descendant of Abraham. We will be given life, eternal life, abundant life right now. This is all happens through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Abraham's descendant and God's son Jesus, through whom we are saved, ransomed, forgiven, healed. We are made God's children forever for eternity. And then one day he will surely come again and bring us to be with him for eternity. So let's pray and give thanks. Lord God, we thank you that you are completely faithful, that your word is sure, that your promises are sure. We thank you so much for your everlasting covenant made to Abraham that we get to be a part of right now through your son Jesus. And Lord, in the midst of our trying circumstances here on earth, whatever we are facing this week, whatever is causing us anxiety, whatever we are ruminating on, whatever is causing us stress, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to remember who you are. We pray that you would provide for our physical needs, but most of all for our spiritual needs. Remind us of your presence with us by your Holy Spirit continually through whatever trials we are facing. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith, strengthen our character. Remind us of who you are, that we may live our lives to your praise and glory, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.